the resurrected body of Jesus has powers and qualities that are way beyond what our normal earthly body has. That's why he's able to appear in the upper room, simply make himself present, even though the doors are locked. And that's one of many beautiful, special things about his risen body that we learn just from the scripture accounts, just from the ways that Jesus reveals himself throughout these days before his ascension. His resurrected body, he will give to all of us who are with him in heaven a share in that. We believe in the resurrection of all the dead, those who in heaven, those in hell, everyone's body will be raised up. But one of the beautiful, joyful things about heaven is that the resurrected body is perfect. It's without illness. It's without any defects. It's without anything not the way that God originally wanted it. And some of the great theologians over the centuries have even said, kind of tried to aim like out of the whole of your lifespan, like at what age might your resurrected body kind of reflect? And they give different answers, but all of it is in line with this beautiful thing that the body in heaven is perfect. And there's no illness, there's no cancer, there's no disease, there's no death. So we believe that, and the scriptures speak a lot about it. St. Paul shares in some of his letters kind of some of what we know about his body, the resurrected body, and what it means for us. But one of the things that's really interesting is, if the resurrected body is perfect, why does Jesus' resurrected body still bear the scars of his passion? One might think, if the body is perfect and Jesus, you were raised, glorified, why does your body show something that we would normally think, well, that's an imperfection? It shouldn't be that way, but it is. St. Thomas Aquinas spent some time reflecting on that very question. And he starts off saying, it doesn't seem fitting that his glorified body should have the scars. Because I look at some of my scars and some of these things were not supposed to be there. Like the time when I was playing with my brothers and friends when I was little and we're just tearing around. I don't even know where it was. It was not at home. But running from one of my brothers and like taunting them, taking off running and then turning right into the corner of a column that split my eyebrow open, and I still have a scar right there. Like, that shouldn't be there. So St. Thomas says, why does Jesus' body bear those marks? And as he kind of works through it, he says, basically, what in our earthly body we would see as an imperfection, he says, in the body of Jesus, those wounds are not an imperfection at all. Rather, they actually show forth the perfection of his love for us. And so initially we might think it's not fitting that those wounds would still, the marks would be there, but in fact, it is right that those wounds are there because they show in the most perfect way his perfect love for us. And I think that's why when he appears to them in the upper room, he says, peace be with you, and then he shows them his hands and his side. It's really beautiful. The way that we most come to recognize him and know him, his identity is most revealed now in the marks of his wounds, which is the sign of his great love for us. I think that's awesome that peace be with you, he says to them, and then he shows them. Like, not only it's me, but I want you to know that these are the marks that most show you that I am your Lord, I am your God. His identity is bound up now forever with the signs of his great love, his dying for us on the cross. And it's such a beautiful and incredible thing. So in this perfect resurrected body, and for our kids who are receiving First Communion tonight, if you've wondered, like, how can Jesus give himself to us in something that still looks like bread? Well, some of the answer is here, because of his resurrected body, he's able to do lots of different things that you and I can't do. And just as he appears in the upper room and makes himself present, even though the doors are locked, like he does not have to unlock a door and walk through it, he can simply appear where he desires to be. In that same way, he can simply say, I want to give myself to you under the form that looks like on the outside is bread, but it really is me. That's how awesome that resurrected body is. But when we look upon him forever in heaven, we will see the marks of that love. Forever, we will be able to see the sign of that great love. On Divine Mercy Sunday, reflecting on this, Pope Benedict said, he added his own thoughts on this in one of his homilies. He said that in keeping the wounds and allowing us to know him by the wounds, the Lord is, he's wanting to let us know how approachable he is. And I use that word, like, not in a shallow way, but like in the deepest way, that he offers us mercy. But a lot of times we just, our image of God is thrown off by different stuff in the world and experiences that we've had. And there are a lot of people who, for different reasons, they don't really trust him. And even though he says, see how much I love you, there are a lot, and even many here, I'm sure, in church tonight, that when it comes to actually trusting him enough to say, Lord, here are all of my sins. These are all of the ways in life that I've struggled, that I haven't made good choices and all of that. A lot of people are not ready to do that because they somehow still have a conception of God, of the Lord Jesus, where maybe I can't approach him. Maybe he won't be merciful. So Pope Benedict, in just his own reflection, says, I think that in keeping those wounds visible, he's reminding us, you can come to me. I know the frailty of life. I know the weakness of human flesh. I mean, he entered fully into death. And so this is kind of the beautiful just completion of what was started at Christmas. You know, we love Christmas because it says to us, Lord, you became one of us, and we can draw close to you. But his wounds take that even deeper when he says, what is it about your life that I would not understand? What is it about your struggles that I would not know? What is it about the hardships and the burdens and the difficulties and the pains and the sufferings of your life that I would not know? And so he keeps himself at a level where we can say, Lord, you do understand. And even though, Lord Jesus, you've never sinned, in some beautiful way, you know my own struggles to love you and to love others. And you know the ways that I would say, yes, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. The whole point is that these wounds are an invitation for us to approach him with boldness, to not be afraid to come to him and say, Lord, I'm broken, I'm weak, I need mercy, I need your forgiveness. And to know that when we do that, that there is this beautiful heart filled with love for us that knows human frailty and does not despise our weaknesses, but wants to pour out mercy. Tonight, I want to make the plea and the encouragement to you. Trust him in that mercy. Believe that it's real. But also, take him up on the way, the means for which he's given us that gift of mercy. As I said at the start of Mass tonight, the gospel tonight is the reason that we have always believed that the sacrament of reconciliation is a gift of mercy that he wants to have pass through his priests to reach us. And we can come up with a lot of reasons why, no, that's not what he wanted, or I don't think it's that way. But it's awfully hard to get around the gospel tonight. He breathes the Holy Spirit on them. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Why did the Father send him? For mercy. So he sends his disciples out and says, those whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Those whose sins you retain are retained. It's all implying this gift that we have in the sacrament of reconciliation. So approach the Lord. Believe that he knows what your struggles are, that he doesn't despise your weaknesses but wants to pour out mercy. But make that approach through the gift of that sacrament. Trust that in the gospel he knew what he was doing, and that sacrament is not just a work of man any more than the Eucharist is. It's the Lord who said, this is my body, and it's the Lord who said, receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. So have that boldness. St. Augustine reflects on all of this himself, and in regard to those who would not approach for mercy, St. Augustine said, look, you were the ones who opened the wounds in his side. It was your sins that did that, and it was for those sins that he allowed them, those wounds to be opened. So Augustine said, enter into the wounds. Enter in to receive mercy. Our sins opened the wounds, but it was for those sins that he allowed those wounds to be opened, that he could pour out mercy. And so it's the whole idea of, Lord, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to trust in your mercy. And I know that some of you, there are obstacles, there are doubts in there. Let's pray tonight that the Lord will free you from that, that you will be given an incredibly bold trust and confidence in this gift of his divine mercy. And remember, there is no sin that he cannot forgive. There is no sin that he cannot forgive, and there's no sin that he does not want to forgive. That is such good news that we get to receive tonight as we celebrate this gift, this feast of the Lord's divine mercy.